We're going to talk about the spirit realm when we come back in a moment. Oh, yes, as we lead into Christmas, this is going to be a great segment. We'll be next on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back here, Coast to Coast AM. Tonight we're going to talk about the spirit realm through the eyes of a hypnotist. Tim Barkley is that hypnotist. He's certified in quantum healing, hypnosis therapy. He's also certified in what is called accelerated resolution therapy. We'll talk about that, which, of course, is the eye movement therapy. Tim has created Theta State Therapy, and it's a therapeutic and spiritual breakthrough. He has 10 years of experience and has conducted thousands of sessions helping people eliminate emotional, habitual, and physical disorders as well. And here he is on Coast to Coast. I'm looking forward to this, Tim. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, George. It's good to be here.
What got you involved in hypnotism?
Well, my father actually was pretty overweight. And unfortunately, he passed away due to a second heart attack back in 1985. And that kind of prompted me to want to put together, like, some kind of product that would help people lose weight, you know, and get their health back.
Mm-hmm.
What I did is I had this idea to put together like a weight loss product based on subliminal messaging and hypnosis.
Huh.
And a friend of mine said, well, you know, if you're going to do that, you should really become certified in hypnosis, you know, to add some credence to your product.
That's right.
You know, I thought that was a good idea, so that's what I did. I went out and I researched, you know, the best schools in the country, and I went through one of those schools, and I tell you what, once I learned it, I was just blown away. I was. So I literally threw 800 copies of that program in the garbage, and I started to practice, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
When people initially went to you, Tim, as a certified hypnotist, were they, you know, doing it for weight and smoking and anxiety and all these other things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, emotional problems like you know, like self-esteem, post-traumatic stress, fears. You know, could be simple fears like I can't cross a bridge on the interstate. Depression, anxiety, things like that. And then also like habitual types of things like alcoholism, substance mm-hmm. abuse. I kind of place weight loss into that category as well. And then a lot of physical types of things, like in especially ones that are syndromes, like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, irritable bowels, restless leg syndrome. And when people mention that word syndrome, what that really is, it's like when you go to the doctor and they check you out, you know, they do blood work, they do x-rays, MRIs, and if they come up with nothing, that's why they created this word syndrome, because they want to give you some kind of diagnosis. You know, so you can go back to your family and the people at work, and you can say, well, you know, I do have, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, yet they can't really find anything wrong inside your body. So using hypnosis, you can clear those away really very quickly. There's been, you know, many, many times I've worked with people that have had, like, let's say fibromyalgia, and fibromyalgia is like pain points in the body. Also, usually people that have that, they also have chronic fatigue. They have a really hard time, you know, functioning throughout the day because they have, like, no energy. And, you know, using hypnosis, I've worked with people that have had that for, like, you know, 20 years, 30 years, and their life is really pretty difficult. And within even as short as one session, boom, it's gone.
It is amazing. I've always heard, Tim, that people can't be told what to do if they don't want to do it under hypnosis. But is that true? Or can you really, you know, if somebody doesn't want to lose weight, hypnosis might not help him. Is that true?
Well, in regular hypnosis, Yeah, you really can't control people. Like if you, what it really is hypnosis is pushing that thinking conscious mind to the side and then speaking more directly with the subconscious mind. And in regular hypnosis, the thinking analytical conscious mind, it's still there. So like if, I put you into hypnosis and let's say you're a Democrat, and I'm going to try to make you a Republican, per se. I could build this big case, and then when we're done and I emerge you, you're really not going to switch over because the conscious mind is still there. However, this new type of hypnosis that I've created is called theta state therapy. That's what I call it. Its roots are based in something called sleep hypnosis. So what that really is, and we can talk about a little more later because it's
sure.
It's really a breakthrough, to be honest with you. What it is, it's guiding that thinking, analytical, conscious mind totally away. I mean, it's gone. So it's sleeping. Then what you can do is talk directly with the subconscious mind, and your client is actually talking to you while they're sleeping. Now, in that state, honestly, it is possible to control people.
What a breakthrough.
I'm sorry, what's that? That's
a breakthrough to be able to have them do that.
Yeah, actually, the roots of that go back to the 1950s. There was a very famous hypnotist. His name was Dave Allman. And what he did is his son had, I think it was asthma, or it was a breathing disorder. What he did is he snuck into his son's room while his son was sleeping, and he could see the hand of his son, his son's hand. And he went in there, and very quietly he said, "This is Dad. You can hear me, but you can't wake up. This is Dad. You can hear me, but you can't wake up." And he kept repeating that very quietly. And then he said, "When you can hear me, raise your index finger." And after a couple of minutes, his son's index finger, boink, it went up. So what he did is he conducted a full-blown hypnosis session going after this breathing problem. And he did that a couple of nights in a row. Lo and behold, his son's breathing problem disappeared. Also, his son had no idea that he had done that. So Dave Allman started doing that in his practice. And some other people have tried to do that through the years. Unfortunately, it's like really, really difficult to get somebody into that state. And I've spent the last, I'm talking solid 3 years working on this. And I've developed it in a way where it's actually pretty easy. And I get, 9 out of 10 people into that state.
That's amazing.
When they're there, that thinking conscious mind is sleeping. It's not there at all. So when a person is in that state, you actually, could make them a Democrat or a Republican or something. Because basically what you say.
That's the secret. That's the secret. That's what we need to do to all of them. Change them.
Yeah, exactly. Like conducting weight loss sessions. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It was a pretty big deal about 6 or 7 years ago. It's something called virtual gastric band. So like a regular person can go, to the doctor. They can go through surgery and they can get, their stomach fitted with a band where
right.
They kind of close off the stomach.
Almost like they staple it smaller or something like that.
Right, exactly. So that person now, instead of their stomach being really large, it's the size of like a golf ball. It's really small, and they get full very quickly. Therefore, they lose a lot of weight.
Ah, okay.
Well, you can do that with hypnosis. Even regular hypnosis, but with this new way, this theta state way or sleep hypnosis way, what you say is fact. So you put somebody into that state and you basically build the story up saying, hey, you know what? Your stomach is the size of a golf ball. you just simply cannot eat more than 5 bites of food. And what's cool about it is then you can tell them how happy they are to do it. Because, George, I'm telling you, through the years, I've probably had at least 30 people I've worked with that had the real gastric band, but the reason they gained all that weight to begin with, all those problems are still in there. You know, nobody addressed that.
That's right.
So they're really struggling, even though they lost like 100 pounds or whatever. So in this fashion, you basically say, hey, you simply cannot eat more than 5 bites of food, and you're really, really happy about it. You're really, really satisfied. And then actually after the fact, when they lose the weight, you can take it away.
In the theta state therapy, can you create, I don't want to get too dark here, but can you create a Manchurian candidate? Can you literally make somebody be a monster, an assassin, whatever?
Well, I've never tried that.
Don't try it. Don't try it. But
no, I'm not going to try it. But there's something to that effect in your conscious mind. There's something called your critical factor or your critical facilities. So if I came up to you and I said, you know, you've now decided to be an assassin, okay, and you enjoy killing people, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, if I said that to a person in regular hypnosis, or I could say that to you right now, you'd hit this critical factor in the conscious mind and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. No, no, no. I mean, that goes against my belief systems. No, there's no way in the world I'm going to do that. However, with this other way of doing this, you know, the sleep hypnosis, theta state way, there is no critical factor. It's sleeping. So what you say is fact to the subconscious mind. So hypothetically, you might be able to do something like that.
So tell me, how did you tie this hypnosis into the spirit realm? How did that happen?
Well, in my regular hypnosis sessions, for years, I really considered myself a clinician. You know, I didn't really conduct a lot of past life regressions, and I really kind of went by the book. However, I developed this this other way to do hypnosis, and I'll briefly explain it. So let's say you're coming to me, and let's say you're clinically depressed. And I'd ask you before the session, hey, when is this the worst? And let's say you said, well, in the morning, it's worse than when I'm alone. That's when I feel depressed. So in a hypnosis session, there's something called parts therapy. So I would have you identify the part within you that wants to be happy and to feel good. And I would have you actually literally imagine it in a chair and give it a shape, a feeling, and then we would name it. Then I would have you identify the part that's causing the depression. And we'd put it in a chair, and you'd give it a shape, a feeling, and a name. And then what I do is I talk directly with the causative part. I talk directly with the part that's causing the depression to figure out what the heck's going on. And surprisingly, about maybe 20% of the time, that part that's causing the problem actually is not a part of the person. It's actually a spiritual attachment. And that spiritual attachment, it could be a deceased person, or it could be, I guess you could say it like this, like a demon, like a negative energy. So after, you know, doing this for you know, several years, I became very good at it to find out if this part that's causing the problem is really a part of that person, or is it a spiritual attachment? And that's when things get pretty interesting, I'll be honest with you. You know, I mean, I've asked these attachments, hey, you know, why are you doing this to my client. You know, why are you giving them migraine headaches? And I've heard things like, because it's fun, you know, and things like that. I'm like, whoa. So the spiritual realm really becomes, you know, it really comes into play. And especially when the thinking conscious mind isn't there, you can have, you know, you can have long, long conversations with people's spirit guides. You can regress them to a past life. You can actually progress them into the future. So the spiritual part of things really, it really comes into play quite a bit.
Now, in the hypnotic state, in the spirit world, I mean, do they communicate with somebody who's passed on? I mean, what are you able to do with them?
Well, you know, like I said, if there's a problem, it could be a spiritual attachment. So, you know, I can get the person's name if they're related to the person. I've seen several times where the attachment actually is mom who passed away, you know, or Uncle Joe. So you can do that. When you talk to a person's spirit guide, we all have at least one or two spirits assigned to us.
Right.
Usually it's more like four or five. So what you can do with that is before the session, you can, you know, I can ask my client and say, hey, are there any questions that you'd like to get answered? And it could be personal questions. It could be like, you know, what is my purpose in life? You know, or they're trying to make a decision, you know, should I do this or should I do that? So you can get all of that person's questions answered, which is really pretty cool. Also, what you can do is you can get healing done on that person's body. So what I like to do is, like, if they have a specific problem, if they have some kind of specific physical problem, I will call that up to the spirit guide. I also always have the spirit guide do, like, a body scan.
Now, do you communicate, Tim, do you communicate with the spirit guide through the person who's been hypnotized?
Yeah, that's the way it works. I basically have that spirit use the voice of the person that's in hypnosis.
Wow. While you're talking to that spirit guide.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, I guess technically that's called channeling. You know, so you're channeling that spirit, and they're talking through the voice of the person in hypnosis.
How do you know that when you're doing this, because I'm looking at the hypnotized person almost like a Ouija board, how do you know that that spirit that's coming through is legit and not some demon, for example, trying to trick you?
Yeah, good point. Well, what I always do before getting into channeling any spirit is we set up protection. So, like, I actually set up protection before the session. And then in the session, before we get to that point, there's some techniques that you can do to surround that person with white light and to protect them.
All right, let's talk about that protection when we come back in just a moment. Tim Bartley is our special guest. We're talking about hypnotism. Next hour, we'll take your calls. If you've ever been hypnotized, check in with us then. We'll be back. Welcome back to Coast, Tim Bartley with us as we talk about hypnotism. Tim, we were talking about how people can protect themselves so that these demons under hypnosis don't leak through, tricking you, taking over them, and you're talking about the white light for protection, but elaborate a little bit more for us.
Yeah, basically, before we get into channeling any kind of spirits at all, you basically want to call in, you know, like God's white light. So you want to fill the person's body. You know, I have them imagine like a white light coming down, hitting their heart center, and then ballooning out, and then basically enveloping them in like a balloon. And then the balloon has like little tiny mirrors that point outwards. So if any kind of negative spirit tries to come in,
they're basically reflected out with those mirrors. And actually, that's a really good idea for, like, ghost hunters. You know, like, you watch these ghost hunting shows, and sometimes the ghost hunter will go into, like, a haunted location and say, you know, okay, if you want to attack anybody, you can attack me. You know, which is ridiculous. Why would you ever want that, right? So, setting up protection, you know, is really important. You don't want to have any kind of attachments follow you home, so to speak.
That's absolutely right. And it could be dangerous for you, Tim, as the hypnotist, for these things to leak through.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, also you want to make sure that the spirit, you know, there's no doubt that you can channel spirits and talk to them, but if you get a spirit that's not the nicest entity, you know, they could give you like 95% accurate information, and then that last 5%, they might be like yanking your chain, you know what I mean? So you really want to protect against that kind of thing as well.
Has anybody under hypnosis gone into any kind of guttural sounds or anything like that?
Yes, I've had that happen a couple of times.
Oh, boy.
Like what I had said before, I had this one woman, I don't know, it was like 5-6 years ago. She was coming to me for migraine headaches. And she walks in and she's all like stooped over. And she had these really thick glasses on, sunglasses. And, she was feeling really horrible. And in her session, you know, the part that was causing the migraines was a spiritual attachment. And I asked it, you know, why are you doing this to her? And that's I've heard this a couple of times, but it said, because it's fun. And her voice dropped like 2 octaves.
Oh, my.
And I've heard that a couple of times.
Like it's because it's fun. Something like that?
Yeah, pretty much. Also, I did a session once with this man, and he said that every time he closed his eyes, and I'm talking just blinking, he would see these shimmering words that would say, you know, kill, death, all these negative shimmering words. That turned out to be an attachment. And I kind of built up the story to get rid of it. I said, you know, my client, his name was Bill. I remember this. So I'm like, Bill has changed. He's not negative anymore. And like attracts like. Therefore, you, negative entity, you have no place here anymore. So at the count of one, you're going, you know, we're banishing you. We're getting rid of you. So I did the count 10 down to 1. At the count of 1, I kid you not, all the lights in my room went out. And then they turned back on, and it was like a bomb exploded in the room, like the shock wave of a bomb. And after the session, I asked him, I said, did you feel that? And he's like, oh, yeah. So that was pretty tripped out.
Can people learn theta state therapy on their own and put themselves into a hypnotic state?
Yeah, yes, you can. I look at this thing that I've developed more as like a meditative process. And for you to learn it, you know, anybody can learn it. Anybody can do therapy sessions or conduct spiritual sessions. And really what it is in the training, it's this script that I came up with. And you have to use your voice properly. But to do it for yourself, here's the thing. Once you're conditioned to enter the state, you can enter it very, very quickly. And so if you learn this, you could use like self-hypnosis. You could record, you know, things like on your computer for things that you would like to work on for yourself. So once you're conditioned to enter the state, it's kind of like, well, what do you want? You know, do you want endless energy? Do you want an overall feeling of well-being and happiness? How would you like to really dislike fattening foods? And how would you like to really love to exercise? You know, and it goes on and on and on. And you can pull out spirit guides all the time, talk to them, because they're always trying to talk to you. That's the number one thing I hear all the time. When I'm talking to them, I always ask, hey, have you been trying to talk to, you know, my client? Let's say the client's name is Joe.
Okay.
You know, spirit guide, have you been trying to talk to Joe? And they're like, yes. And has he been listening to you? No. I hear that all the time.
What is the criteria for the spirit guide to be the spirit guide?
Well, the way I understand it and what I've seen, they are basically your friends on the other side. You know, they're friends. A lot of times they're people that you know. For instance, for me, unfortunately, my sister passed away in 2009, and she's now one of my spirit guides. And I actually communicate with her rather frequently. So a lot of times it's the deceased loved ones or friends on the other side that step in. And each spirit guide, they have like their own task. You know, like one might help you in one part of your life while another one helps you in another part of your life. And they do rotate. They do change out.
The ability for you to hypnotize someone and for them to stay in this induced state, what is the longest time period, Tim, you've had somebody under?
Probably about 3 hours.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
Do you have to keep reinforcing the hypnosis to keep them under, or once they're under, they're under?
Yeah, pretty much once they're under, they're under. The whole going deeper into hypnosis or being under is kind of misperceived. Like I was saying before, when you go into regular hypnosis, the thinking conscious mind is still there. You know, it's just kind of pushed to the side. When you go into the theta state or the sleep hypnosis, the conscious mind is gone. So either way, you can have a very, very long session with a person. And the only thing that might pop them out is like if, you know, like their arm fell asleep,
yeah,
or something like that, you know, or they're physically had, where they had to go to the bathroom, you know, in the middle of the session. That can happen sometimes.
Have you ever had a session where you couldn't pull somebody out of being hypnotized? They were like stuck there?
No, that actually cannot happen. You know, if you think about it, hypnosis is just brain waves. That's all it is. We have beta, alpha, theta, and delta brain waves. So like when you're awake, your brain waves are very fast, kind of tightly knit together. Then when your brain waves slow down a little bit, you go into something that they call alpha. And that's kind of like when you're at work, let's say, and you're daydreaming about being at the beach or something, and then somebody comes up and says, well, hey, Tim. It's like, oh, what? Oh, yeah, hi, you know, kind of thing. And then under that is theta, which is hypnosis slash a meditative state. And then under that is delta, which is dreamless sleep. So if you're in any of those realms, somebody can come up and wake you up or snap you out of it instantly. So hypnosis is really that theta area. So you can't get stuck in it. It's pretty much impossible.
When you're driving and some people have no recollection on how they got from point A to point B, other than they just got there. And they kind of forget the drive in between. Is that self-hypnosis? What is that?
Yeah, it is. Yep. Why that happens is you're staring through the windshield, and, you know, there's signs and trees passing you in your peripheral vision.
Right.
And when you focus on something, your brain waves slow down. So, like when you drive, you know, like, hey, how did I get here? Or if you remember being back in school and the teacher's just kind of rambling on and on and on, you know, and then you kind of come back and you're like, I have no idea what you just said, you know, that's hypnosis. So, or you could simply stare at a dot on a wall for 5 minutes and you'll go into hypnosis. So it's really just focusing on one thing, basically, is what it is.
If people heard you on the radio when you were trying to hypnotize people, not that we're going to do that, but could you hypnotize people over the radio, somebody driving a car, for example? Could they go into a hypnotic state?
Oh, yeah. Well, I specialize in distance therapy. So I do distance, you know, therapeutic sessions and spiritual sessions via the telephone or Skype. So I do that all the time.
Wow.
So yeah, you can do that.
So you literally could hypnotize somebody who's driving their truck right now?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to hypnotize someone driving.
No.
You know, per se, but.
I mean, would they get in an accident or would they be better drivers?
Well, actually, you know, if you think about driving your car, consciously, you're not really thinking about a whole lot. You know, you've driven so many years that you know, everything's automatic. And the automatic part of that is your subconscious. So a lot of people driving are in hypnosis, but they're not crashing. You know, they're not driving off the freeway. So that's actually, I don't know what the percentage would be, but it's actually pretty common.
Okay, it's almost like these automatic cars that they're going to develop.
Yep, exactly.
Huh.
Yep.
Can you hypnotize someone for memory and recollection?
You can, actually. I've had people that have forgotten things. I actually, not too long ago, worked with a high school student who had an altercation at school and for some reason couldn't remember the details of that.
Okay. And why would they want you to hypnotize the person to pull out the details? The police or the parents? Who wanted that done?
Yeah, actually the child wanted that done.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that I worked with. But or once in a while I get someone that, like, they lost something,
mm-hmm.
like a ring or their watch or something, and you can retrace their steps. You know, what's really cool is your subconscious remembers everything.
Everything.
Yeah, like I can regress people back to the womb, you know, and they hear people talking in the room, their own birth, obviously past lives.
I'm convinced, Tim, if you're at an event speaking before 200 people and you look out over the crowd, your physical mind, you're not going to remember a lot of people, but your subconscious literally takes a photographic picture of that entire room, and it's in there. You just need to pull it out, but it would recollect everybody who's in that room.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've worked with a couple of people that have had multiple strokes, and their short-term memory, which is in the conscious mind, was horrible. I mean, they couldn't remember what they did an hour ago. And then you put them in hypnosis, and they can remember absolutely everything. So that's really where it's at. You know, your subconscious mind is really, really powerful. And your conscious mind is kind of Mr. Stupid. That's really kind of what it equates to. And, you know, the hypnotic state and what you can do with it is so powerful. I really do believe as time progresses, especially with like the sleep hypnosis, there's so many applications for it. You know, like if someone gets cancer, instead of going in for chemotherapy first, guess what? You should pull out your spirit guide and find out what the heck's going on first. And a lot of times your spirit guide will fix you, dependent upon a few things.
Are the spirit guides, in your opinion, Tim, is it their duty to make things good for you?
It is. What they do is they're talking to you all the time. Most people are ignoring them. So what they'll then do is they'll ramp it up and they'll move it into the body. So you might get like some kind of physical disorder. And then if you ignore that, then they ramp that up and it gets worse and worse. And it might go to the point to where you die. I mean, and their perspective is different than ours because they're on the other side. So life and death, well, there really is no death. We're just here down here, you know, down here in Earth School to learn lessons. That's why we're here. So they're trying to get your attention. And what's interesting is when you talk to spirit guides, I always ask them a couple of questions to see what the heck's going on. Like let's say somebody does have cancer.
All right.
So I'll ask them, I'll say, hey, did they sign up for this? Is this in their life chart? You know, like before they came here, did they say, hey, I would like to experience cancer?
Who would say that though, Timmy?
What's that?
Who would want to say that?
Well, you have to think of it from the perspective of a spirit. Because you're coming down here to learn certain things. So working through cancer or something that's really difficult, it's a lesson, it's a learning. So you might sign up for that. You might sign up for a couple of horrible parents, you know? You sign up for stuff. So I'll ask them, hey, did they sign up for it? And they might say, no. And then I'll ask them, does this have anything to do with karma? Now, karma is payback.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So do they have to pay back anything? Does it have anything to do with karma?
We've heard that phrase that we can't repeat on the radio.
Yeah. Yep. So they might say yes or no. And then I ask, is this related to a past life? And, I don't know, maybe 30, 40% of the time they'll say yes. And then I'll ask, well, do we need to go there and look at anything? And if they say yes, then we will. Then I'll take them back into that past life, into a specific scene that has everything to do with today's problem. Or a lot of times they'll say, yeah, it has something to do with the past life. And then I'll say, well, does this person need to hang on to that any longer? And they'll say no. And then I'll say, well, do you think you could go ahead and break that for them now? And most of the time, they'll just say, we've already done that. We just did that.
All right, stay with us, Tim. We're going to come back and take some phone calls and talk more about hypnosis. If you've been hypnotized, definitely check in with us. Tell us why you had to go through that. And we're going to talk more about spirit guides. How about past lives? Much more with Tim Bartley on Coast to Coast AM.